This evening, I'd like to invite your attention to Matthew 25. We would like to center our thoughts this evening on the parable of the 10 virgins. And I've entitled the message this evening, Readiness. I think before we go into the message, I'm going to simply take the time to read this parable, and then we want to give some thoughts on it a little later in the message. Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So as we think of the title of the message, Readiness, this would imply that there is an event that is coming. Something of importance is going to take place. It's an event that requires preparation. It is an event that requires awareness. You know, when a certain event, or any event actually, takes place, we need to be ready at that time, not a week later, because that event will never take place again. And unless we are ready, we will miss it completely. Perhaps we have all had situations where there was an important event and we weren't ready. And you know, maybe you sisters have had company invited, and here they come, and you're not ready. Well, that's maybe a fairly small thing, but that can be a little bit disconcerting if you're not quite ready for something that you consider to be important. In our setting at home, harvest time is such an important event. The farmers need to have their equipment ready to harvest a crop, because if they do not, they stand to lose a fairly large portion of that crop. And so that's important. I had to think of maybe some student that is studying, and there's a major test coming up, and fiddles around. And I remember when I was in high school, you know, I would a whole lot rather gone off somewhere and played an evening of basketball than I would to study for a test. And so a test comes, and a person is not ready. I have often had dreams. Maybe you other ministers know what I'm talking about. I don't know if they're dreams or nightmares, but where I am, I know I'm expected to preach, and I also know I'm just simply not ready. I haven't prepared. I'll tell you, I sure like to wake up from those dreams. That's such a relief. How about your own wedding, those of you who are married? Were you there? Were you on time? Were you ready? Readiness. A number of years ago, our family took a single sister to the airport, and she was leaving to go to our mission in Belize. And those were the days when there was not as tight a security as what we have today, and the visitors could go along down the concourse with the passengers to the gate and see them off. So we were there that evening. And I noticed something going on at the adjoining gate. There was a flight getting ready to go to St. Louis. And they loaded the passengers, and they closed the door to the jetway, and the airline agents, they left their counter, and they went to make sure that everything was in order, ready for departure. And about that time, there was a man come running down the concourse, and he looked here, and he looked there, and he discovered that this flight that he intended to go on to St. Louis, they'd already shut the door. And so he went to the door, and he knocked on the door real loud, but they didn't hear him. And so then he went to the window and he looked out. He went and knocked again. And they went to the window and he saw that plane in reverse, headed away from the airport. That man ran back and forth between the window and the door and knocked again and again, but to no avail. And I often thought about that man that was headed to St. Louis that day. You know, he intended several hours after that to be in St. Louis rather than Portland, Oregon. He had every intention of getting on that flight. He got ready to go. He started out. But somehow or another, he didn't meet the requirement. And I don't know why. I never talked to him. Probably should have. I don't have any idea what happened. Was he late getting started? Did he get in a traffic jam? Did he have a flat tire? I don't know. But whatever it was, there was some cause that made that he missed that flight. Now that was, I'm sure it was difficult for him, and I don't know how that all worked out. But that's not nearly so important as missing this great event of the coming of the bridegroom. And so it will be at the coming of Jesus Christ when he comes again. I believe there will be many that have every intention of making it to the mansions that Jesus has prepared for us. And they have started out in their Christian life and they have made necessary preparations for the event. But somewhere along the line, they become lax in their readiness. They're going to miss that great marriage supper of the Lamb. If you have your Bibles open yet to Matthew, let's read in chapter 24, verses 42 to the end of the chapter. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come, but know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready. Notice that. Be ye ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that ye shall make him ruler over all his goods. He shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so the problem began here when it appeared that this servant thought his Lord wasn't coming, that his Lord delayed his coming. And so he began to beat up on his fellow servants and begin to eat and to drink and to be drunken. I might ask this question. How many of you here this evening expect the Lord to come back tonight? How many, if not, how many expect the Lord to come back in this next week? Luke 12:40 says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour that ye think not. So are you ready? Or are there other things that you would like to do first? If Jesus would come tonight, would he spoil some well-laid plans? Are you excited at the prospect of his return? Are you packed and ready to go? I know not the day, neither the hour, when Jesus will come in his power, but I know in my heart when it's time to depart, I'll meet him, for I am ready to go. It may be some morning when all is bright. He may come tomorrow, or he could return tonight, for he said that he was coming. And I believe it's so, and that's why I've made my preparation, and I am ready to go. Ready to go, and it's a comfort to know that my house is all in order. I'm packed and ready to go. Do those words, do they sound, do they meet the desire of your heart? Or aren't you ready to go? All right, let's think a little bit more now about these 10 virgins to vividly portray to his followers the possibility of not being ready for his return. Jesus told a story. and it is based on the expectation of a marriage ceremony. Many times the return of Jesus is likened to a marriage. The church is the bride, and as individuals, we can be a part of the bride as well as guests at that supper. And I'm going to read a few verses from Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verses 7 to 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And so this evening we are each one called, we are each one invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The question is, are we ready to go to that marriage supper? So, going back now to Matthew 25, the first word in chapter 25 is then. This word then connects this parable with the previous chapter, and we read part of that. Now, it was a custom in those days that those who were attending a wedding party would carry lights to help to lighten the procession. And the number of lights was usually 10. And so Jesus was telling this story somewhat based on the custom of the day. Now the custom, and I don't have it detailed here, but just briefly. The groom, after there was a, I forget what it was called, but there was kind of a celebration where they would have a public engagement, I guess you would say. And then the groom would go home and prepare a place for he and his bride to live. And then when he was all ready, he would come and claim his bride. Now, she did not know when he was going to come. Somehow or another, those poor folks, they didn't have cell phones. They weren't able to text. How could she know when he was going to show up? She just had to wait for his appearance. But the thing is, she needed to be ready whenever, at all times, for the bridegroom to come. And so when the groom came, the bride was ready to go to his house, to their house, and there were those who accompanied them, and there was quite a procession, and there would be those that would carry the lights for this procession. And so here, these that are carrying the lights are portrayed as virgins. And there's a difference between five of the virgins and five of the other virgins. The only apparent difference, though, of these two virgins was that the wise made provision for what was ahead, and the foolish seemed not to think of the consequences of not being prepared. They all had brightly burning lamps to begin. Notice in verse 5 it says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And so this would have included the wise as well as the foolish. And you know, if the bridegroom had not tarried, all had been well. They would have been ready. They could have been ready to go. You know, sometimes we have to wonder, why does the Lord tarry? Why doesn't he come? Why doesn't he? There's so much apostasy about us, so much going against the teachings of the God's word. There's men and women falling headlong into apostasy. Why doesn't God stop this? Why doesn't he say it's enough and salvage what's left? But you know, that's not the way God works. He desires the voluntary praise and service of his people. And unless we can be faithful, even during trying times, we are not fit for the kingdom. We cannot bring honor and glory to his most holy name unless we voluntarily keep our lamps burning. So verse 6, the cry came at midnight. And it should have been a joyous cry, because this is what they had been anticipating for days, probably weeks. But alas, the foolish were not prepared. They rose up to trim their lamps in readiness for the bridegroom. And there was nothing wrong with the lamps. The wicks were in order. But there was just one problem. The oil reservoirs of the lamps were small, necessitating carrying another vessel from which to refill, and they did not have any more oil They had failed to make sure they had a full container. And so the foolish asked the wise, "Can you give us of your oil?" And they said, We only have enough for ourselves. We can't spare any." And so every one of us needs to give account of ourselves. We cannot borrow from the righteousness of someone else. Romans 14:12 says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." You know, credit for spiritual, moral virtues cannot be passed from person to person. And I've had to wonder how many children in the day of judgment are going to feel their inadequacy. They'll notice it, and they will look to their parents to give them of their own spiritual virtues, only to find that they have none to spare. Might come to that time and say, "Well, you know, yeah, maybe I don't have enough oil, but hey, I was raised in a Mennonite church. In fact, I went to church in Strawberry, Arkansas. That surely ought to be enough to get me in." Likely, when these foolish virgins went out to buy, they could not buy because the place was not open. It was night. And we know that the night cometh when no man can work. Then in verse 10, it says that when they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And I have written in my Bible by that verse, finality. There was no opening once that was shut. There's no more opportunity. And the virgins pleaded, and they cried, and they knocked on the door, all to no avail. And the bridegroom said, "I don't know you. Depart from me." Verse 13, the warning is to watch. Now let's think just a little bit about these wise and foolish virgins and maybe make a few comparisons. There are some very striking similarities between the wise and the foolish. But their end is worlds apart. In fact, it's an eternity apart. And what was the difference between these two? You know, in this parable, I don't see any openly disobedient men or women, but rather slothfulness in their Christianity. They were not adulterated with the world. They were virgins. They were pure. They were unspotted. They had not gone out and had a big fling in life. They had not adulterated themselves with this wicked world. They were pure. And there was no visible difference between the wise and the foolish. If you'd have walked up there and not seen whether they had a lamp or not, they'd have been looked the same. But it was a matter of inward readiness. You know, I believe that the foolish virgins at one time had had a real experience with the Lord. And they had forsaken the way of the world. And they had experienced the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And the very fact that they had a lamp denotes that they professed Christ. And I believe that when they started out to meet the bridegroom, they were enthused. They wanted to meet him. They had every intention of meeting him. They had every intention of meeting every requirement. Their outward appearance was the same. They had the same lamps. They kept the church standards to a T. But there was a difference. You know, it's not enough to have once been spiritually awakened. There is a need for perseverance and continuance. They had once been converted, had rested on that experience, but failed to seek the daily supplies of grace. Their lamp burned brightly for a while, but they did not grow in grace. They did not walk in the Spirit. They did not mind the things of God. They had retained the outward show and form, but had neglected true inward life and faith. It seems here that the only difference was oil. And what is that? You know, what does the oil represent? Well, it could maybe represent a number of things. Sometimes the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and I think that could apply, because in Romans it says that he that hath not the Spirit of God is none of his. But it seems to me that this also would portray the continual graces of God upon our lives. Our spiritual reservoirs are not very large. And I believe that those of you who have come to these meetings, to these revival meetings? You have come to avail yourselves of spiritual graces. And that's good, but it's not enough. How long is it going to last you? You can't fill your reservoir of oil so that it'll last indefinitely. In our lives, we live in a sinful world, and we rub shoulders with those who are sinners and those who want nothing to do with God. And I believe it uses up that oil of grace in our life. And so we need to refuel. How often? Well, I think we need to refuel daily. God's mercies are new every morning, and we need to die to self daily. We need a daily walk with God by reading His Word and by prayer. We need to fellowship with the saints as we have opportunity. We need a daily infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because we are using and consuming these graces daily, our account with God must be kept current. I don't think we can keep our reservoirs full by just going to church Sunday morning. And it really cannot be kept full by reading a chapter in the Bible, saying a few words of prayer, and rushing off about the day's activities. We need to spend time at the feet of Jesus. We need close communion with Him. We need to let Him speak to us. We need to be willing to change in areas that He speaks to us about, or that the Word points out to us. Sure, we can follow the forms of Christianity, but that's not enough. It will not allow you admittance through the door. And I had to wonder, how did those foolish virgins feel when their close friends, those they had associated with for years, were accepted and went in, and they were excluded? How heartrending that must have been to realize that they had missed it because of their earthly entanglements, and because they had failed to keep their spiritual life current, they were excluded. You know, I had to think how difficult it is at a time of the death of a loved one, and I know many here have experienced this, to stand by that open casket and take one last look at that one that we love so much. To say goodbye, knowing that we will never see them again. You know, that's difficult. But the comfort we have is to know that we have the hope of meeting again and dwelling together eternally. But imagine the feeling of standing outside that closed door. What a bitter disappointment. Your loved ones have gone through. You are outside. You are excluded from all that is lovely and fair and all that is righteous and holy. Not just for a night. Not just for a week. Not just for a year. But for all of eternity. And your portion is to spend eternity where? With the sinner, with the unbeliever, with the murderers, with the adulterers, with the demons, because you failed to keep your lamp filled with oil. I'd like to give three reasons this evening why we need to be ready. The first one is, we need to be ready at all times because of the sureness of the return of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 24, there, in verse 50, it says, "The Lord of that servant shall come." It is something that is definite, and He shall come. I'd like to go to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 through verse 2 of chapter 5. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." And so the day of the Lord is going to come. It's going to surprise a lot of people. It's going to come like a thief in the night. And it says that the Lord is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Is that going to thrill you? Or will the sound of that trumpet strike fear into your heart? Will you look up because your redemption draweth nigh? Or will you cry to the rocks and mountains to cover you from the presence of the Lord? We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but we must, Jesus said, to occupy until he comes. You know, the wife who spends time at the end of the lane looking for the return of her husband is not as prepared for her husband's return as she who is busy about the household duties, just now and again looking out the window for her returning husband. And so it is. We need to be busy in the work of the Lord. We need to be doing his work, looking here and there at times for his return. We notice also there in Matthew 24:48, I already mentioned that the servant got into trouble when he thought his master delayed his coming. And, you know, it does seem it's so much that, you know, I never thought that I would get to this age. I thought the Lord would come before I got to this age. I thought the Lord would probably come before I ever got married. And so, is the Lord coming? I mean, where is the promise of his coming? I'd like to read from 2 Timothy 3:3-4 and verse 10. Second Peter 3:3-4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of its coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So there's those that said, well, I've heard this all my life. I mean, what are you talking about? Yeah, Jesus coming again. I mean, I heard that when I was a little boy. I heard that when I was a young man. I've heard it now all along, and he hasn't come yet. He's not coming. But never forget, the coming of the Lord is closer today than it has ever been before. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. And so that is a reason to be ready at all times because of the sureness of the return of Jesus. The second reason that we should be ready at all times is the finality of the closed door. I'm going to go back again to Matthew 24 and read a little bit earlier in the chapter from what I read before. Matthew 24, verses 37 to 39. I'll start at verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And so at the time of Noah, there was also a closed door. And God closed that door. When Noah and his family and the animals went into the ark, and the time came, God closed that door, and there was no one that could open it. And I don't know, I can well imagine in that day when it began to rain, and the people in Noah's day realized that they were wrong, that they had this preacher of righteousness was right in what he had done, and they may have been at that door pounding on that door too. I don't know, but I believe we need to remember that there is the finality of a closed door, and we need to be ready, because when that door closes, it will not open again. Now Jesus is the door. John 10:9. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am thankful this evening that a way has been made possible for us to escape the judgment of God. And it is only through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but me. And so he said, I am the door, and by me, if any man will enter in, that man can be saved. But you know, the day is coming when that door will no longer be open. It's going to be closed, and that door is going to become the judgment bar. I'd like to read from Luke 13. Luke 13, 24 to 28 says this. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Jesus is saying here, it's going to take effort. You need to strive. You need to put yourself to it. Kind of like our brother was talking about the blind man, Bartimaeus there. He didn't just cry out to Jesus in a whisper. But he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And so we need to seek to enter in. But there are going to be those who seek to enter in, and they will not be able because the door is already shut. And you will stand without, and you'll knock and say, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he'll say, I don't know you. Who are you? And you say, well, don't you know me? I was one of your children. I went to church every Sunday. I actually taught a Sunday school class. Don't you know me? He'll say, I don't know you. Why? Because you do not have your reservoir full of oil. You know, it's too late to cry for mercy when it's time for vengeance. Now, Jesus knocks on your heart's door. In Revelation 3, verse 20, it says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. And I don't know what your heart's condition is this evening. But if you are not ready for that day when he comes again, then Jesus is knocking on your heart's door. He says, I stand at your door and I knock. And you have the right to say, No, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. I'm not opening my door. But if you do not open your door to him tonight or before he comes again, someday you will be knocking on his door, but in vain. The third reason, then, that we need to be ready is the finality of the separation. And this grips my heart. As I think of that, we have one choice while we live in this life. I mean, this life is one choice. I'm not saying that there's not more than one opportunity. But when this life is passed, we will no longer have opportunity. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23. Says this, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And so here are those who had professed the name of Christ, and they had cast out devils, and they had done many wonderful works. But Jesus didn't know them. And he said, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, I don't know where the point is that God cuts off a believer and says that he is no more righteous in his sight. We do know that sin will not enter into heaven. And you know, it's not necessarily what I think. It's not necessarily what I wish. But this is God's doing. It is God's judgment. It's not my sympathies for you or for someone else, but it's what the Word of God has to say. And I think that too often we may think that we can tamper with sin. May think that we can have the best of both worlds. You think you can indulge in the desires of the flesh and presume upon God's grace, knowing that he is a forgiving God. I will enjoy this, and then I will ask God to forgive me. And you know, I've seen those, you probably have too, that go through life in that cycle. And that just seem to cannot be victorious. And they sin. And then they're sorry. And then they ask God to forgive them. And then they go back through this whole cycle again. But you know, someday it's going to be the last. God's going to say, it's enough. And so I would like to ask this evening, are all accounts settled up to date? Is your account up to date with God? And there's a lot of areas we could and maybe we should have looked at this week. We did talk a little bit about the home. Didn't really talk a lot about the husband and wife relationship. But you know, there are those in our midst. I don't know if there's any here at Strawberry. I trust not. But there are those in our midst that there's husbands and wives who are just tolerating each other and not getting along and will do almost anything to undercut or make the other one look bad. How is it in your home relationship, in your husband and wife relationship? I believe that that could be a big hindrance in being ready for the Lord's return. Or parents with your children, children with the parents. You know, can you go to bed tonight and know that all is well between you? That there is peace and harmony? Or is there just a grating there because I just cannot accept what my parents do and say? Then how's our relationships in the church? Do you have ill will towards some brother or some sister? And I think that can get in the way of our readiness for the return of Christ. That we just hardly can bring ourselves to appreciate or even to count that person a brother or sister. Do you blame the ministers for the problems in your life? Do you feel that they're too harsh? They're too demanding. They just don't understand my problems. Well, there's a lot of areas of life that we could look at. But I believe that we need to deal with these relational differences in our lives so that we can have our vessels filled with the oil of the grace of God and the Holy Spirit of God. Now, as we come to the close of this series of meetings, this message, you know, one thing I've found, I can't convict you. That is a work of the Spirit of God. I can't save you. Tonight, I can point you to the one that can. And I believe the cry is coming, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Are you ready? Are you ready to meet that bridegroom? The end is going to be sudden, and the separation is going to be final. Revelation 19:7 again says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." And then in Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible, I'm going to read several verses. And this is the words of Jesus here in verses 12 and 13. Revelation 22:12-13. "And behold, I come quickly." Now, I noticed that I think it's three times in this chapter. "Behold, I come quickly," or "surely I come quickly." Verse 12. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." And then it goes on to say, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And shall we add, for without are those who have not kept their lamp trimmed and burning. Because that's what Jesus is saying in the parable of the 10 virgins. Verse 17 yet says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. This evening I would like to extend an invitation. Like I said, I cannot save you. I cannot convict you. It's only through the work of Christ, only through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to sing an invitation hymn, stanza or two. If God has spoken to you, if somehow you know that if that trumpet sound was tonight, if you knew that there was a voice that said, behold, the bridegroom cometh, and you're lacking, you're not ready, tonight is the night to make peace with God.